Our reading this morning begins on page 940 in the Church Bibles. It's taken from the book of Habakkuk, beginning to read chapter 1, verse 1. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet received. How long, O Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife, and conflict abounds. Therefore the law is paralyzed, and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous, so that justice is perverted. Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwelling places not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong, their horsemen come from afar. They fly like a vulture swooping to devour. They all come bent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They deride kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. They build earthen ramps and capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own strength is their God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So Habakkuk starts our next sermon series, which is about faith in troubled times. So this seems like a very difficult reading, and we should ask what Habakkuk is all about. Firstly, Habakkuk is in Judah, and that's the southern kingdom of Israel at this time. And he's prophesying to the people of Judah about their upcoming destruction and ultimate rescue by God, their father. Habakkuk prophesied between 612 and 588 BC. Now, it seems a bit backwards, because it is. So you start at 612 and come up to 588 BC, okay? Whereas AD goes the other way. So don't get fooled by that. It's quite a long time. When we were young, what was the phrase that we most used to our parents, apart from no? Well, I don't actually remember myself, but my parents, and from my experience as a parent and a church youth leader, Kids in Christ and others, it is what word? Not, it's not fair. No, that's one of them. Who? Why? Yes, why? It's not fair when you say why. Yes, true. So we start with this innocent inquiry from the time that we learn to talk. Why has framed a lot of things. Why should I get up? Why should I go to sleep? Why should I go to school? Why should I eat my greens? Many, many whys, and for everyone that's answered, there's always another one to follow. Why is the biggest question ever? From childhood to university to church to marriage, it is always there. Why? Now, Habakkuk was a man who sought out answers, and he was not afraid to ask big questions, and he went straight to the main man himself, God. So we have 11 verses, not much in the amount of words, but immense with the urgency and importance. Now, we'll try and break it into easier portions. So first, we've got to realise the fact that God sees us. Second, that God will act. Third, that God acts in unexpected ways. And finally, the overall thing is what this implies to us through the coming of Jesus Christ. So first, God sees us. In the first four verses, we see that Habakkuk has big questions for God. He cannot understand why God has not intervened in world affairs, but more importantly, in the affairs of Judah, this nation that is supposed to be the pinnacle of God's work in the world. It should be a nation that shows God's love, concern, and purpose in his world. Habakkuk sees the opposite. He sees an allegedly chosen people going their own way, following pagan gods, ignoring the poor and the homeless and the downtrodden, not following God's laws and being as awful or even worse than the world around them. It says in verses 2-4, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abound. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted." Now, I would say, does this sound familiar? What is our world like today? For that matter, what is our church like today? Habakkuk asks big questions, but does he expect an answer? Like the child to the parent when she or he asks why, do they expect an answer? And if they get one, do they listen? Because there's always another why. Why is that? Because some questions do not have simple answers, and sometimes we just don't have the answer. But God does know all the answers, and sometimes he will tell us, and sometimes he holds back the answer for our own good. The thing is, have we asked God a question? Have we then listened for the answer, or is it that we don't want to hear it unless it fits in with our plans? So in Psalm 33, in verses 13-15, it says, "From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on the earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do." The Lord God sees and considers everything because he created everything. God sees our problems and our suffering. He knows what it is like because of Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. So, who here has seen Dragon's Den? Oh, not many. I thought there'd be a few more. You saw it, Mia. Right, okay. So, what's the premise? The premise is that people have brilliant ideas and they come into a panel of experts, people who've entrepreneurs who've made money. And they come to you and they go, "Sarah, here is £10,000, right?" You bring the idea and they respond to you by giving you the money, hopefully in the aim to make more money. So, I've given you £10,000 because your idea is brilliant, Sarah. So, off you go and put it in place. What might happen? Anybody? Pardon? She loses it. Yeah, well, physically she could lose it. Or she could invest it and it doesn't succeed. So, what is the real idea? The idea is a... Pardon? A partnership, yes. So, it's got to be a partnership. Both people are involved. Both people watch each other and give advice and such like. So, God is exactly the same. Once we come to him and give ourselves to him, he wants that investment to flourish and grow. He doesn't leave us on our own. So, God sees us, is with us. Secondly, God will act. So, in the next seven verses, we hear God's reply to Habakkuk. God lays out his plan to him. He will act. The problem is, will he, and also we, like the results? The answer comes with the phrases, look, see, wonder. He is going to do something amazing. God is going to use a pagan nation to do his work. He agrees in a way about the violence, the destruction and wickedness, but he is going to use these to accomplish his own goals. He will bring Judah to its knees and hopefully return to God one way or another. And the ultimate solution to our problems will be a saviour who will come 600 years later. So what should we learn from these words? And in verse 5 it says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. Sometimes we think God doesn't know what we are going through and therefore ignores our troubles. But God is aware of what is happening and he will respond. The problem is that he doesn't always act on our time schedule. He knows infinitely more than we do and will act when needed in his time. Now, that's very hard, but it's true. Habakkuk implies that God is idle, but this is also untrue. God acts when and as needed. So we've got God will see us, we've got God will act. Next is God will act in unexpected, or in brackets, mysterious ways. Okay? God tells Habakkuk that he will act in verses 6 and 7. I am raising up the Babylonians. In some translations that would be Chaldeans, but in this it's Babylonians. That ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law unto themselves and promote their own honour. The Babylonians have risen very quickly and they've already defeated and destroyed the Assyrians, which was a nation that Isaiah talked about coming to attack the northern kingdom of Israel, Samaria, and take over that. And God will use them to his own ends. Now, does it make us think of things that are happening in the world today? There's war, hatred, violence, and power grabbing by rich and ruthless, non-God-fearing people. What in our lives would be considered wrong? Where is our self-interest, our hatred, and our lies that don't work to God's purpose? God sees us, God will act, and he will act in unexpected ways. Now, have you ever been in a situation where you couldn't get what you wanted? Say, as a child, you couldn't play with the toy that you wanted from your brother. You'll know this one. So you go to your parent and you moan and they say, Mom, she's got that toy. I want that one. Doesn't she? Either one. Several times a day. And then Mom comes up with a brilliant solution. She grabs the toy and says, you're neither going to have it. It's going to go away. Now, do you think that when we're in difficult situations, would we have the courage, like Habakkuk, to ask God to act? What might be his answer? Would it be like the one we wanted? And what stops us from asking these questions? And I thought of a New Testament example. Like the woman who kept going to the corrupt judge until she got an answer, even if it should be the one that we don't want. So in Luke 18, and it's verse 7 out of there, it says, and the Lord said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? God will judge and will act in his time. He will use resources we don't like or understand. Sometimes, as in our reading, he uses Babylon for a time to achieve his ends. Verses 8 to 11. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like the desert wind and gather prisoners like sand. They mock kings and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities. By building earthen ramps, they capture them. Then they sweep past like the wind and go on, guilty people whose own strength is their God. So we see that God uses them to sweep aside a corrupt Judah. But he is also saying that he's saying that what Babylon is doing is right. No, because they will also be swept away in time. So we have to think, what is the implication for us? Do we expect God to act? And will we accept what he gives to us at that time? So finally, in conclusion, how do we react to Habakkuk's words and to God's reply? We have the advantage. We now know Jesus and what he does and did for us. Will this change our minds on the fact that God sees us, knows us, and has a plan for us and his world? The Apostle Paul looked back on Habakkuk's words in the light and the death of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Paul reflects on who Jesus is. Acts 13, verse 26. Fellow children of Abraham and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promise to his people and the world. And in verses 32 and 33 of that same chapter 13, we see, we tell you the good news. What God promised to our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second psalm, you are my son. Today I have become your father. So the promise to David is fulfilled. Jesus achieves what the law cannot, our salvation and our sanctification, because of his death. Because of that death, God sees us through his son, sinless and blameless. And if we believe and put our faith in him, because of that faith and belief, we will be and are accepted into God's family. And he becomes our father and we his children. We are all one body because we share one bread, Jesus Christ. Paul uses Habakkuk to conclude his point. And in verse 40 he says, take care that what the prophets had said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. So Paul and Habakkuk are saying the same things. God is in control. He sees us, he listens to us, and will act in unexpected ways. But again, are we prepared to listen and to react to God's leading? Or will we go our own way, believing like that child that we know best? So let us pray. Dear Lord and Father God, we ask you to speak to and answer us in times of trouble. Help us to listen and look for answers, to trust you in each and every situation of trouble and also joy. Lord, be alongside us and give us your peace in our hearts and lives. In the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.